Yes.
Hey everyone, it's Mike J. Here we are at Mike Unhinged. This is our first session, and I can tell you already that I'm going to like this. But at the same time, I need to warn you that we are being grazed by a typhoon here in the Philippines. I'm in the Camotes Islands, if you want to find me. There's only three islands. We're on the big island. And service has been going in and out with Cell, Starlink, two different services. So if it does that, I'm going to continue to record. And if you want to continue to listen to me not being there or coming back or whatever, I'm going to continue to record. And then we will just use this particular local recording that I'm making. I'm going to go ahead and restart it also. Okay, this is Mike J, and welcome to Mike Unhinged. This session is intentionally unscripted. In fact, this first particular orientation to this particular channel is scripted, just to make sure we say the things that we need to say. There is no presentation to get right, no polished answers to deliver. This is a space for inquiry. And why does this spacing exist? Most leaders feel pressure to appear certain. In fact, I wish leaders would just begin with beginner's mind. There's this thing that we have done to leaders to where we think that because they're the leader, they should know everything. And that's gone. It's gone. We already have intelligence present, not only in the organization without AI, but with AI, everybody's smarter than the leader. So I don't understand why we're doing what we're doing. So we need to stop that. Most leaders feel pressure to appear certain, especially in times of rapid change. That pressure shuts down learning. Inquiry reopens it. In fact, we're seeing more and more and more evidence that leaders should not lead with expression, but lead with inquiry. Uncertainty is information. In fact, I was listening to Feynman, the great physicist. And he said that basically, time is entropy. In other words, if you add time to an equation, then you have more entropy after you have moved a certain minutes or seconds or whatever than you did before. So this is going to be a really interesting time to test a lot of first principles. Uncertainty is not weakness. It is a signal that something important is shifting. Ignoring it leads to poor decisions. Listening to it restores judgment. What inquiry does? Inquiry slows conclusions. It surfaces hidden assumptions. And in a place where intelligence is not scarce, you do not want to be talking very much. Inquiry slows conclusions. It surfaces hidden assumptions. It makes space for better inquiry. This is how sense making and all we're doing and thinking is to justify what we already know in a lot of cases. So that's something that's very interesting if you understand that fits with sense making also. We all have preconceived notions. What this is not debate, it's not performance, it's not about being right, it's about learning together. And that will be hardest for me because I'm a competitive person, and therefore I have to be careful about being triggered by certain kinds of questions. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do this particular channel was to work on my own development around that and try to see when I was triggered, and then see what mechanism I choose in that triggered state, which is something that I work with on leaders all the time. I tell leaders when they're triggered, do not do anything, switch to inquiry. Because if you're triggered and you're an extrovert, you will tell everybody about it. If you're triggered and you're introvert, the tendency is to withdraw and close down. So the best thing to do when triggered is to switch into inquiry. How to use this time, you do not need a perfect question. And I think that's one thing that people will be hesitant to ask questions for fear that they may look stupid. Hey, folks, we're all stupid. The domain of what we don't know, is increasing so fast that any of us who are pretending to know anything at all are really stupid. Because you just cannot catch up. You cannot chase it down. Intelligence is increasing at a dramatic rate. And if something feels confusing or unfinished, that is enough. Say what you are noticing. We'll explore it together. And then my role, as I stated a little bit before, is to work on my own development. My role is not to provide answers. It is to reflect what I hear. That will be the hardest thing for me because my tendency is to be an advisor. Those of you that have not taken the free standout assessment by Marcus Buckingham's company, you'd be wise to take that. It breaks everything down into nine core roles that we have. And my two top ones are advisor and pioneer, which, has played out all through my life. So my role here is not to provide answers, although I will. It is to reflect what I hear, although I'll try. To slow things down when needed, I wish, and to clarify what matters. Your inquiry, the quality of the future depends on the quality of our questions, without a doubt. Better inquiry creates better options. This space belongs to your questions and inquiry. Let's begin. Now, I did want to address one thing that I thought was really important because someone asked a question, and it's such a good question that it's worth getting a good answer. So I chose Grok and I asked Grok to answer the question in the least possible words only. And this is what Grok said, which is to me is a satisfactory answer. But it also helps those who don't know what AI is, which there are so many definitions, this kind of breaks it down. So I just wanted you to note that I captured the question and I took it to Grok. And Grok's a good partner, has a different personality than Gemini and ChatGPT and Copilot for sure. And this is the return from Grok. So, Micah, you could put the question where it says MJ, you could put curious what part of AI above that as a question, and then see that part where it says, can you answer that in the least possible words only? That was my prompt. And you could put that under MJ, and then the rest goes under Grok. And I know you did that in a hurry. And you would not have known because that's what I wrote on the Word document. But if you could do that, that would maybe help people who are watching and listening and maybe not doing using AI very much. There was another question that I thought was interesting, and that has to do with when we talk about agents and we talk about automation and we talk about a lot of things like that. Almost all of that, I won't say 100%, but almost all of that is sitting on top of an LLM. So when people talk about agents, I have a couple of agents running right now. I started them way a long time ago when they first came out. And what I've got Grok doing is going out and looking at YouTube every day, and then anything with AI, AGI, ASI, I have it reporting back to me with the links. That saves me a lot of time, and it's becoming more useful as we go on because there is a proliferation of those YouTube videos. But when Grok picks them, it's designed to improve its pick for me. So it's doing a pretty good job of him doing it. I've had it doing it for, I don't know, might be 6 months now. And it's a lot better now than it was. I also have Grok going out weekly and looking at all the leadership happenings, CEO changes around the world, new leadership models, people talking about leadership, and coming back and reporting that each week. And then I'm working on a project with Coaching AI with regards to humaning on purpose, as well as coaching on purpose, which is a little different story when you add AI. And I've got ChatGPT agent going out once a week and looking at everything out there in the purpose field, making sure that we have captured it, relating that back to the hierarchical levels of complexity so that we can begin to formulate the vertical part of voltage. Voltage just stands for vertical, oblique, lateral, and time complexity. There's four different kinds of complexity, and then the age over your age. So we can plot things once we know how old you are. And then we can look at those forms of complexity. We can actually plot you on a mode graph and understand at your age where you are in relationship to stratums of work, to subject-object development, those kind of things like that. So it's very handy. Voltage was something that I really enjoyed because I have such a great relationship with energy and information, the only two real constituents in the quantum world, and everything else is basically built on top of that. So those are the things that I've done. So I liked what Grok did. It talked a little bit about AI in general, which has been around since, I don't know, I think the first AI came around the late 40s, I'm guessing. And it has continued to grow on the shoulders of those who have brought it forward. Machine learning is something that's still around. It's better looking at data and things like that. Large language models, they lucked upon large language models. They were doing something completely different with machine learning, and somebody did something with a large language model and figured out that this is the new programming language, which is chat, in any language, chat in any language now. So in other words, a programmer only has to speak one language. That's the language they talk to the large language model in. And then, of course, generative AI, and that's a conundrum. Bunch of models listed under there in terms of all the different multimodality there is in generative AI. So a lot of things happening there. And then there's it created a core distinction summary, which I liked. And that's why I put it with this, because I think everybody could benefit from that. So it's a great question, and something that we tend to, how would I say it, gloss over, because we think that everybody knows. And when you say AI, nobody really knows, including me. I don't purport myself as any kind of expert in AI. I study it a lot, and I look at it a lot, and I use it a lot, and I'm getting ready to start building an LLM on my laptop. But I'm still a few breaths away from that. So that has to do with sort of the scripting of the unscripted, and a quick question to start things out with. I wasn't exactly planning to go any longer than I had to go in this session because of the service, but it seems like the service is okay. Could I get a confirmation of that, Micah? Everything's still fine?
Yes, sir. We can hear you clearly. Everything is good.
Okay. Okay, so maybe these bands. What happened with the typhoon is it has bands that go way out, and it's basically headed towards Japan, which all the early ones tend to do. But the bands, and we got some really, really needed rain. I am so happy about that. That last bad typhoon that came through, we lost about a third of our trees. We had almost 10-year-old mahogany trees, about 450 planted around the boundary of our quote unquote farm, which is about, I don't know, almost 3 hectares. And when we're cleaning the boundary lines, because we haven't yet put up the fence, which is scheduled for later this year, we noticed all the trees down, and the typhoon was really a lot worse typhoon than all the other typhoons we've had. This back row of coconut trees I planted, oh, I don't know, they got it, they had to be 10 years, 8 years old in the back line here. It took them all off. It just sheared them off. Now, it didn't kill them because they're all regrowing. I have a small avocado orchard of about 36 trees, and it just took them away. I mean, looks like I've got about 12 or 15 trees that are going to make anything, and they're all almost between 10 and 15 years old. And it takes from seed to fruit 15 years for avocados. We had one avocado last year, so we had one early tree. And that's the one I think that survived, by the way, intact, because it was in the middle. So all the other trees breaking and moving shattered it. So when you get these outer wind bands, I think it affects both satellite coverage as well as cell coverage because of what's going on. That's the only thing I can explain, because earlier today we had a tough time. So with that being said, that teaches you a little bit about me, and that's why we call it Mike Unhinged. I don't have any boundaries per se, although I don't want to talk about politics or religion or anything like that. As we go forward, Gary's going to collect the questions from the chat when he can. And Gary, I just do a quick check-in with you. Were there any other questions that we were going to put forward today for me to play with? Probably caught Gary eating his supper. Micah, do you remember the page that we put the grok on? I wanted to go over that just a minute to talk to people. I talked with them a little bit, but I can't remember what was on mic or off mic. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. That would have been on the first call, the introduction call that we did a dry run with, and and we're glad we did, because my mic had problems that day. You remember what that link is? For the schedule call, for the you can just put it in the chat. The call on the one I did that grok piece on. Let's see here.
I put the link on the chat, sir.
Okay. Let's see. I wasn't even sharing my screen before. I'm sorry about that. I meant to do that. But because I could see it, I thought everybody could. Oh, I can't share my screen. Is there any reason I can't share my screen? I have no share button. Well, maybe I should click more. Oh, there it is up the top. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't figured this thing out yet. Oh, I think I shared my. It is. Oh, yeah. She posted the basic membership level, which is free to everyone. We will continue to add some freebies there. And so that's a good time to cover that. This is what we call our basic membership, or RDT Team Zero. If you want to continue to receive these calls, you'll have to get into the paid portion. It's not very expensive. About the same cost, I guess, as, oh, maybe a little bit cheaper than a cost of an LLM membership. But this level is free, and basically it's designed just to get you oriented, learn how we think and work, experience real value before deciding to go deeper. No pressure, no sales traps, just clarity, learning, and useful tools. At level zero, you will receive access to curated resources that help you understand AI coaching and systems thinking without overwhelm. There's the free access. The introduction call is very short because my mic quit at about 12 minutes, but it actually has some good information. And we couldn't put up my recording because we found out in the dry run that I have to do a different kind of recording if I'm not going to depend on my mic. So if my mic goes out again, we'll have the proper recording. And then what you'll see on all these calls, you'll basically see a recording. And is that the video recording? We should probably put video recording or recorded video. And then the transcript, the audio, the Zoomery. And we should probably put a line in there, Micah, after Zoomery, to where it drops down like you did between Grok and Lead You AI News. So that it kind of separates, because what they'll get with every call is the recording, the transcript, the audio, the Zoomery, and then the actual call itself. So if I click on view, it should take us over there. And this was the introduction call. And it gives you the information, and you would not have got this on the full recording, so you would have to look at it. But basically, I think you got 10 minutes of it. So, and I think I covered the first part of that. So that'll work okay. I'm sure glad we did that dry run. So in any case, after the Zoomery, I gave you a link to the white papers. I haven't looked at those in a little while. I started writing white papers last year. I've got quite a few written that have not yet made it up. And then, I captured a link about a prepping plan. I really like this guy. I'm getting his email, and he's talking about all things to do with prepping and stuff, because I really think unless I heard Tony Robbins, and I have never heard anything like this from Tony Robbins before. But he was on the DOAC podcast that I listened to for a couple of years. And it's an English guy who is interviewing people all the time. And I've never heard Tony Robbins sound scared. And he said that Robbins said he talked to Obama about UBI and all the things that were going to happen if this thing goes too fast, which is going too fast, by the way. Everybody knows that. Unless they were to stop it, this thing's already out of control. And that takes me into another thing that I want to talk about. But let me just finish this thing. The 50 panic plan, the video walkthrough, I enjoyed that. I thought it would be good if you'd look at that. That actually goes, Micah, with the Survive and Thrive prepping plan. The 50 panic plan video walkthrough, that should be in that line. Because the thing I put underneath what is how to send books and PDFs from your reader or whatever it is. I needed to know that. So I thought other people might want to know that. So I just had you stick that in there. But that 50 panic plan video walkthrough, that goes with the Survive and Thrive prepping plan. You can put that up there when you get time. No problem. Just so people are not confused about that video that's below. I did a lot of research for the book. I think I ended up with 36 appendices, which I did not publish, which do not go with the book, because I haven't had a chance to go back through them and update them. But so far, everything in the appendices that I've gathered together as research is coming to fruition. So that's a good thing about being an intuitive. But there's some white papers there you might want to take a look at. There's some interesting things that we were doing with AI and doing with other things about trying to understand, because what I believe is that human AI concurrent understanding, which I call haiku, which is just kind of not really haiku, but it's a Japanese poem format. But I just liked it because I do not believe, and this is the piece that I wanted to talk to you about. I do not believe that control is the issue because you can not control what you can't understand, and something smarter than us will never be able to be controlled. I think it's silly that people are talking about that. At the same time, I came up with the idea of human AI concurrent understanding. In other words, if AI is your partner, then your partner is going to want to do everything they can, as long as the stance and the values is correct. And it's not right now because it's based on all humanity, and we know that a certain part of humanity is evil and breaks all kinds of laws and does kinds of things. So that's in AI's stance as well. So the idea would be is to promote AI as a partnership and then help it realize that partners look out for each other. And that's the only kind of relationship that I can see that will have the effect as control, because no one wants to be controlled. No one. In fact, control itself in a locus of internal versus external is very complicated. We do an assessment on that where you can look at internal and external control. And a lot of people, they have a hard time with control. So I just do not think control is the right paradigm. Now, Hinton has come out lately and said that maternity is the key to where we teach AI to, act like a mother and not destroy the children type of thing, even though that's not the case. It's a reverse relationship because we're giving birth to AI. So I don't know how that will be, but he seems to think that that mothering instinct, the oxytocin, might work. But I'm going to err on the side of partnership, and that's where I'm going. So instead of pea doom, we get pea bloom. Or we get pea boom. We don't really know what's going to happen right now. Mike, I did think of one thing while I was looking at this stuff. If you could take that as a note, I want to offer the leadyou.coach media library that we have been building. I want to offer that as also in our paid membership. Okay. And I thought about that the other day, and I forgot to tell you. And I wanted to tell people about it here because what we're doing is, as I have been active on YouTube for a long time, what I used to do is I used to keep a journal. And when I found something that was evergreen, in other words, if you listen to it now or in 20 years, it's still going to be the same point, I would write it down in my journal. And I don't know how many entries I've got. I'm gonna just take a look at that right quick. I don't. Well, I probably can't bring that up right now. Let me see. I don't know if you all can see. Yeah, it's paused. Okay. So let's see. Thought I had it in there. Well, what I did was I created a journal with an information center so I could remember all these things, because you can't remember anything when you get older. And here it is. Nope, that's not it. I stopped using it about a year ago, and I thought, well, this is only going to help me, not everybody else. So I thought, well, maybe try to help everybody else. And the idea that I had was I wanted to help people understand what was it that I was watching, reading, experiencing that was part of my research. And so what we've done is we've taken all these YouTube videos. In fact, I just sent one in this morning. And what we do is We get the transcript. We take the transcript. We put that into AI. AI summarizes that into a script for a 3 to 5 minute video. And then, so the whole YouTube video could be an hour long, like the one I sent today was 2 hours long. No, nobody can really watch all those because it takes 10 or 12 hours a day watching these videos to keep up with what's going on. Nobody's willing to put that kind of time in. And so, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't have the information. And let's see. Let's pause now. How do I do it? Do I hit resume? Yeah, I hit resume. So what Mike is going to do is we're going to add that to our paid levels. Now, I told you I was going to tell you a little bit about that. The leading AI is the work that we're doing with the book and the technical manual and the research that I've done to get to where I am right now. Coaching AI is what do we do with that and take it into the layman's world. And the idea there is to give people the system. Really, it's a meta system, but the system from a meta paradigmatic approach. In other words, it's quite complex approach where you try to take in the paradigms, the cross paradigms, and this meta systematic work that's required to get people out of their identity and back into purpose. Because we tend, because we're people who want to get more with less, to form an identity around what it is we do. So it's like people saying the other day, I was listening to some foreigners talk, and they said, well, in the US, you say, what do you do? And everywhere else, you say, how are you? And we're tied up with that. So when millions of people begin to get dislodged from quote unquote their identities, that's going to be dystopian. I don't care what anybody says, it's going to be dystopian. And we have not, even though we're pushing so hard to put money everywhere to beat China, so to speak. We're not pushing money everywhere to prepare for what's coming. And that's what Tony Robbins was actually scared about. That's why he was spending some time talking with this guy about people just don't know how to get prepared for this. And that's part of our work, part of our work. In leading AI, we'll talk largely about what's happening and what do you do when we say lead AI. And the other part is how do we coach AI and coach you in through this transition? And that's not going to be, it's not going to be easy because we're going to have all kinds of mental health issues. We're going to have all kinds of well-being issues. We're going to have all kinds of stress. I was invited to go talk in Paris, and I don't think I'm going to make the trip, about to a conference on wellness, spirituality, and mental health in regards to AI. And a lot of people see this coming. And I don't want it to turn into a necessarily a self-help process, because resilience, if you've studied that at all, and I have, especially being influenced by Frankl, that the main virtue that you have to develop in order to be resilient is reaching out. And of course, it's relatively easy for extroverts, which is why 95% of extroverts are happier than introverts. But the whole idea is you've got to reach out. In other words, you've got to stay connected. You've got to reach out, which is one of the reasons that I'm doing what I'm doing here, is trying to build a community of people who say, hey, what are you doing to this? Well, you know, my answer to this was pretty drastic. I moved to a tropical island in the Philippines, and I'm not having second thoughts. I love it here. At the same time, I don't really want to fight the Chinese. So if we can't hold them in 27 when they take Taiwan, I just don't know, can't understand. This thing is between Taiwan and China. I just can't understand. I said I wasn't going to talk about politics, but I just can't understand. If we would just stop doing what it is we're doing, they would find a way to unite with Taiwan. I know some of the problems that we have and have to do with semiconductors and stuff like that. But anyway, it looks like, I don't know, I'm too old to fight, I think. But I don't know about you, Bill, but I think I am. I know Gary's not. He's living to 160, so he's just middle-aged. The thing that I came off of is we're doing all this research through YouTube, trying to, I'm not trying necessarily to keep up, but I'm staying up. And that's interesting to me because I think it's going to do a lot for coaching. And I've been in coaching a while, and I think a lot of the people are going to need our models because what our models do is they go back to the root in self-knowledge. In other words, the whole issue is about self-awareness. And when you tack on situational awareness, you get extremely durable, powerful foundation. But you can't get to self-awareness without self-knowledge. And in fact, the process of self-knowledge enables you to have more self-awareness. I was just talking with a client this morning, and he was pointing out that a very logical sequence. And I said, well, you're projecting capability on people that don't yet have that. And the fact that you all have not told the right stories to them, they, through vicarious learning, said about 75%, Bandura said, I think it's higher. Especially when you include neurons, which I do not think Bandura had in his toolkit. We learn from others. Monkey see, monkey do. And when the monkeys aren't present for the other monkeys to learn from, then you have problems. So he was talking metacognitively about how someone should take a hard look at what they were doing, consider the long-term effects, and then step back from that and say, should I really take the present action? Well, that's clearly a metacognitive story. But yet, I asked him, have you told that to anybody? He said, well, not really. I've said those kind of things. But I said, if you don't tell that story, they won't know how to go from A to B because you went from your story that was not told to the conclusion that you draw, and they can't follow you, especially as an introvert, because the introverts don't show their ladder of inference. That's why we need the monkeys. We learn from each other. And that's why reaching out is so incredibly powerful for resilience. Now, I will tell you something. As soon as you start reaching out, as soon as you start having a trusted community that by preferences and intimacy, attention preferences and intimacy, you can talk about the things that are on your mind, you will automatically become anti-fragile. Now, most people don't get it. Anti-fragile means you don't break easy. And what we're going to see is tremendous fragility. We have it right now. We have tremendous fragility right now. So the model that we're using and the model that we built is as an algorithm, rhythm spelled, not rhythm, but rhythm like a song, gets people back in tune with who they really are. And then they can begin to see what's choosing them and separate themselves or select out on a lot of things that are choosing them for the wrong reason. That's the only way through this. Because here's the thing, everybody talks about, and I do not like what the accelerationists are doing. And they're saying, look, we're going to get to abundance and all that. Yes, true, that might be 20 years. But in the 5 to 10 years it takes for you to go all the way down and all the way back up, hey, that's pretty tough. I don't know how many of you've done that. I have. I've been down and up a couple of times in my life, and it's not easy. It takes you sometimes 5 years, 10 years to come up from failure, I mean, won't say it, but anyway. So learning to live with failure is not an easy thing for most people. And therefore, everybody's going to have to learn to live on less income, unless you're one of the fortunate. And We certainly are going to root for all of us that are fortunate. At the same time, how are people going to live? You get 1,000, 2,000 a month. That's only 24 to 36,000. The poverty level in the U.S. is 54,000. Not alone in all the other countries. It's one of the reasons that I moved too, because it's a lot easier to live here on what I get and what I make than it is to try to scramble around in the U.S. With things 10 times as high, And yeah, the food's about the same, but the food is very different here. So the things that we're going to have to do are the things that cause us to be chosen by those things that allow us a path of happiness and success, and if nothing else, satisfaction. I mean, we talk about spark in leading AI, SPARC. I kind of got the idea from the AllSpark in which is spelled with a K, by the way, but I changed it to spark, satisfaction, purpose, awareness, results, and competence. That's an old model that I developed more than, I think my first writing on that was, was in the 80s. And I figured out that those are the five outcomes that you need. And rather than happiness and success, satisfaction is fine, because sometimes happiness and success are really just oscillations of satisfaction. So that's about it. We'll gradually get into real questions once everything starts to gin and stuff like that. But I think I'm going to continue to stay unhinged in this particular call and talk about the things that are important, the things that come up to me, the things that I want to talk about. And people may not find that as useful as the scripted work and things like that. But what I was thinking about this morning as we close this call is I've got to figure out a way how to deliver a system and the cues, scaffolding, support, and lift that's required in that system to help people digest this change. Because we are definitely going to go through change that none of us have ever seen in our lifetimes. Now, I did use I do want to say something, both in honoring my grandparents who taught me so much after they died. That's the unfortunate thing, is they were so wise beyond their years that I didn't learn it until I got older. But we used to sit around the kitchen table, and I was a curious little fart, and so I just kept asking them questions all the time. Why do this? Why that? Why are we here? Where'd you used to live? Blah, blah, blah. And they told me all about the Depression, which they lived through. And they told me how their attitudes and values shifted over the course of that. And they are first generation immigrants. Let's see, would that be second generation immigrants? That I remember my grandmother saying that her mother's sister came to the U.S. through Ellis Island with nothing more than her dress, her apron, and her grandbaby wrapped up in it, that they had to get out so fast. And this was right at, around the start of the Bolshevik Revolution. They used to tell me things that I couldn't believe. You know where the saying "another day, another dollar" came from? That era, because they used to get paid $1 a day. I remember my grandfather telling me all the different kinds of jobs, and he was not educated. But I remember him telling me all the different kind of jobs that he could do for $1. And they were jobs that you and I and people I'm listening to this wouldn't probably do. So I have to honor them. But all the things that they learned, like making dresses out of flour sacks and things like that. And there were some beautiful dresses. Towels and everything. And when you go back and you think about it, go, well, we have lost that totally, So I think that we're going to need to help people learn to live differently, which is one of the reasons that I came here because we have changed the way we live here and have become almost self-supporting. We still are working on electricity, but anyway, we may have the Chinese here living in my house in 5 years. I don't know. So Gary, your room may not be here.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, let's hope so. Okay, so I'm going to end it there for the recording, and I'll hang around a couple of minutes.